Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Island World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. Canada, on the eve of the NATO summit to be held in Washington, D.C., it moves around, hosted by President Biden. Canada is a committed member of the NATO alliance, and we have a headline. Canadian Defense Minister, our commitment to NATO is growing in Europe and the Arctic. We welcome Charles Burton of Synopsis, a senior fellow, and the Arctic. That is the detail that I cling to, Charles, because the U.S. is not yet ready to confront what is going on in the Arctic, which is Russian and Chinese icebreakers and colonies and defense bases and spending. Is Canada ready to participate in an aggressive fashion, icebreakers and basing and military exercises as the ice opens up? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, you know, the big feature of Canada's desire to have NATO continue to focus on defeating or at least constraining Russia in Ukraine is the funding issue. The United States, of the $1.3 trillion annual investment in NATO by all nations, the United States contributes about 68%, so $860,000 million. Canada contributes less than $29,000 million. So, you know, if you do a ratio of, say, 1 to 10, the Canadian contribution of our GDP is about 1.3%, whereas the United States is about 3.5%, say, or so. So, you know, Canada talks a good line about how we have to stand firm on Ukraine, but the expectation is that the United States and other countries will take the responsibility and Canada will contribute with strong rhetoric. So from that point of view, Canada's in an awkward position. We try and claim that the 2% figure is just a figure and that there are other ways to contribute, although that really doesn't make a lot of sense. And then there's also the notion that, well, perhaps we don't have the resources to contribute in Europe, but we'll do more in the Arctic in years ahead. Canada's the only country in NATO that doesn't have a plan to get it up to 2%. There's a plan that suggests that we might get to 1.76% by 2030, but, you know, that would be a plan that would go beyond the term of the current government. And seeing as Canada promised to get up to 2% in 2014 and is at about 1.3 now, one has to doubt the commitment of governments to spending plans that are far into the future. So it's an awkward position. And I think in the context of the current NATO meeting, where there's concern that there could be a change of government in the United States, that Donald Trump will not be committing 68% of NATO's funding, is there any way that Europe and Canada can fill a U.S.-sized gap in NATO funding to prevent Russia from succeeding in Ukraine and China from succeeding in working with Russia to gain in the Arctic and Indo-Pacific? So these are the big issues there. Seems to be a lot of talk, but a reluctance on the part of Canada and Europe to actually commit resources to meet the challenge of an increasingly hostile global environment.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, is the opposition Conservative Party, what is their position on NATO contributions?
We don't seem to know, and that is a great concern, whether the Conservative Party, when they come into power in 2025, which is a near certainty, will align itself with those rightist parties in the world that don't think that that we should be protecting Ukraine from Russian aggression and prefer more isolationist policies. So it's still to be seen, but it's distressing that we haven't seen a strong statement out of the Conservatives or any kind of indication of a policy plan for that government when they come into power to beef up Canada's defense allocations significantly so that we can, you know, it's not just about getting up to 2%. It's about decades of underfunding leading to a very weak military that's unable to defend Canada without U.S. support, and a demoralized contingent of soldiers and difficulty in recruitment. There are all sorts of issues here that do not bode well for Canada's future in terms of making its rightful contribution to global defense against hostile powers like Russia, China, North Korea, Iran.
You have vast, vast land in the Arctic Circle filled with natural resources. We can only guess what's in there. Vast. Yes. And the ocean as well is rich with food and possibilities, and it's all yours. Is that an issue in Parliament? Do you understand how rich you are?
I mean, there's certainly always been a notion about Canada as the North and the potential for minerals, and nowadays particularly critical minerals like lithium and zinc that exist in the North, which are becoming more and more accessible as the waters start to break up in Northern Territories. This the issue really is that, you know, China sees itself, defines itself as a near Arctic nation and is working more closely with Russia with a notion to expand its presence there, not only shipping going through, but the potential for port facilities and acquisition of mines and other resources in the Arctic region. And so the question is really, does Canada have the capacity to resist this? And can Canada challenge the Russian assertion that most of what we regard as Canadian territorial waters are in fact either international waters or Russian waters? And so far, we don't seem to be very assertive in this regard. And we can't even, you know, we don't even show presence in the Arctic in the sense of having military bases up there or even overflying a lot of the territory to show that it is, in fact, Canadian sovereign territory. It does seem to be a notion that perhaps those hostile powers will believe that if you don't use it, you lose it.
Gordon, you have a question.
Why isn't anybody in Canada more assertive about protecting the sovereignty?
Well, that is a question, and I think it does seem to be that Canada's obsessed with domestic issues, a lot of them of the woke political correctness element, and doesn't seem to understand the larger question of defense and an active hostility among certain elements, I think, including the Prime Minister, towards the whole idea of the military and defense. He just doesn't want to talk about it and doesn't seem to support the military in the way that you see in the United States. And I think that's part of the problem when the defense minister goes to cabinet wanting to get allocations to address serious problems of, you know, aging equipment and lack of infrastructure. The other cabinet ministers blow him off in favor of allocation of monies to other programs.
Your defense minister's remarks, are they applauded in Canada in the op-ed pages about your responsibility to take possession of the defense of Canada?
Yes, absolutely. I think there is a lot of rhetoric about this and a lot of concern among a certain class of people like myself. I mean, I plan to produce an opinion piece on the upcoming defense minister's priorities in the national press, which I'm confident will be published. But does it actually resonate with people at large, and will it make any difference in their electoral choices in the next election? And why doesn't the opposition party articulate a clear defense policy so that we can have some confidence that things are going to change when there's a change of government?
What is the negative of speaking out about defending Canada's sovereign territory? Where would that not be popular?
Oh, I think that people speak out about it a lot, but it's really a question of when it gets down to, are we going to increase to 2%? That's when the rhetoric takes over the actual intent. And so I don't think there's anybody that says Canada should not be defending itself. And the Minister of Defense is trying to assure NATO that we are exploring, I think is the way he put it, possibilities with regard to icebreakers and submarines, but exploring is not the same as committing. And there tends to be a rhetoric on the part of the government that this is terrible and somebody ought to do something about it, without acknowledging that it's they are, in fact, the people who are in charge.
Charles Burton of Synopsis, a senior fellow. This is a puzzle, Gordon. China claiming it's a near Arctic, that would be the same as, say, the Philippines claiming to be a near Arctic nation. Does China have ambitions beyond the open seas, Gordon, to your knowledge? Are they looking to take advantage of Canada?
They're looking to take advantage of everyone because Xi Jinping believes that China is the world's only legitimate ruler, which means like countries like Canada and the United States are mere colonies, if that.
Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, and Charles Burton of Synopsis, Canada and the Arctic. Boy, the gold, Charles, the gold? This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.